Runs kindly for Morrison. It's Cal Morrison! Just listen to this, please! Spencer takes over. It's Brad Spencer! It's in the back of the net! There's Donaldson driving forward. Cole Donaldson! That is simply ridiculous! There's Tom Lang! Oh my word! Unbelievable! Phenomenal! Incredible! Invincible!
This is Falkirk Daft. With Behind the Wall and the Falkirk football fans in training.
The Academicals were schooled by the Bairns of Falkirk on Friday as the Navy Blue juggernaut rolled into Hamilton West for our fourth away win of the season. Hello, I am John McNally. Welcome to Falkirk Daft. And with me, the Ginger God of Pod himself, one-man band in the main stand. It is Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good morning, Mr. McNally. How are you?
Very well, thank you. October week, Ross. Last week we left the show. You were heading down to Centre Park with your companion dog.
Yes.
The question that everyone is asking is, did you get asked about the companion dog when you arrived at Centre Park?
Thankfully, no, I didn't. However, I did have the fear, thinking someone who maybe doesn't like me is going to phone Centre Park and say, by the way, there's some twat coming from Falkirk where our dog is not a companion dog.
That was always the worry that a Dunfermline or Raith Rover supporter would do that.
I know, it's true. But not all good. All's well that ends well. And I did get a few messages when I put a picture up on social media. I think it was Tuesday saying, how are you getting on with your companion dog and your assistant's dog? It was brilliant. Good time, good week off. And I know you were away earlier this week as well, weren't you?
I was. How's your wallet after Centre Parts, by the way?
It's
brutal. It's a lovely place, don't get me wrong. Beautiful.
They charge you for almost everything.
Oh, it's horrendous. Horrendous.
Yeah. But no, it was brilliant. Brilliant time off, mate. Brilliant time off.
Oh, good. I went down to London this week. I went down to see ABBA Voyage, the Holograms. By the way, it is amazing. I have to say, I'm not a big ABBA fan, but you know, who doesn't like ABBA? Do you know what I mean?
No one dislikes ABBA.
They've got some absolute bangers, right? So, went down and oh my god, it was the future. Like, see if you my mate had said stand near the back, because you get the full experience in. And oh my god, stood at the back in the middle. Now, if you look at, they've got big screens on the side, so it's like a gig. So they've got screens on the side, so you can zoom in on the thing. So you can tell it's CGI if you look at the screens. But see if you just watch the band on stage. Oh my, it is mental. It's living in stuff.
Pictures or a video, or something.
You're not allowed to do that. It's like living in Star Trek. And I'm like, and then the old ABBA come out at the end, and you're questioning, going, is that them? Is that actually them? So there's one brief moment I'm going, no, it's not. No, it's not. But it was absolutely incredible. So if you are a fan of ABBA, definitely go down and do it, because it is mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing. It's the future. Maybe one day we could, when we are no longer on this planet, Ross, perhaps they could get hologram versions of us doing with AI, doing Falkirk Daft.
Just talking shite.
Talking shite about Falkirk. There you go. And Behind the Wall, the hologram show Behind the Wall.
Listen, it sounds like you had a super trooper time. So
fucking hell, right, okay. listen, I have to say, before we go on with the podcast, we've got, obviously, that's another club in Scotland went into administration, Inverness Cali, and, you know, we don't usually talk about other clubs and stuff, but I know the beat us in the Scottish Cup final, and we've had our meetings with them in the past, but you've got to feel sorry for the supporters of that club going into administration. Speaking to the boys, obviously the Wine and Shuffle, we spoke to them on the podcast previously. I messaged Andrew and the boys there this week as well, just saying, listen, it's horrible, but you know, they've been completely mismanaged. See if you read what that Scott Gardner's done. Oh my word.
What an idiot. It's frightening though, John.
It just goes to show you, you know, we've been there ourselves, you know what I mean? When your club gets mismanaged and put in the wrong hands, you know, it's horrible. And it's the supporters that end up getting, you know, the brunt end of it, you know?
No, it is. It's the fans that lose out. And it's usually the fans that have to then sort the mess out as well, isn't it? So yeah. I feel really sorry for them. And it's the fans that you feel sorry for, not these shysters who come and go and do what they... some scary numbers, John, like 3.4 million they're going to in the red this year. It's just horrendous. So I think, if anything, from a Falkirk perspective, we've talked about it before, but if the longer we can continue the path that we're on, because we're on a really, really good path just now on the pitch and off it, and the longer we can keep that going, the better. So I'll shout out again for the Falkirk Supporters Society. They've got an out coming up soon. Get involved with that or join as a member, and you can get your kids involved now as well, which is
Exactly. I mean, it does just go to show how important FSS is to the club, and that, you know, we've got this shareholding in the club. It means we can stop the shysters coming in and getting involved with the club. But you've got to feel, I mean, like I say, you've got to feel sorry for the supporters of Inverness. And you know, I was speaking to Andrew, and I was just saying, listen, he was actually saying administration's probably a good thing. It means they can basically start afresh, you know, and get, like, but you know, maybe look at the model that Falkirk have set up for Inverness and getting the community more involved, because I don't think they have that at Inverness. No. But so, yeah, best of luck to them.
Absolutely.
The Highlands. Thanks to our sponsors, of course, the Falkirk Football Fans and Training. They've been with us for a long time now. Looking forward to seeing the boys at the Falkirk Daft Live this Friday. But the T8s are supporting each other through football, making memories along the way. They're playing at the stadium every Monday, 8 to 9, Tuesday, 7:30 to 8:30. And I've got a new initiative with the Falkirk Football Foundation, Walking Football Squad. Oh, I've not got my jingle ready for the Super Vets Football, which is a strictly over 50s 8-a-side game, but they're playing by the 5-a-side rules. That's happening at the stadium Friday, 5 to 6. Get yourself down there. If you're sitting there, you're over 50, you want to get a bit of exercise, like I say, great bunch of lads, get down there, get a game with the boys, speak to Ian, Willie or Doogie, the link is in the bio below. Get involved with the T8s, as I say, brilliant times. And as in the horizon, the Lava Cup is returning to the Falkirk Stadium next year, and that was an amazing event. Me and Ross went down there last season, it was cracking, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a brilliant, brilliant afternoon out. And I think this year we'll try, or this season we'll obviously be down there for the do. But by all accounts, the evening festivities were fantastic as well in the South Stand Bar. So we'll make sure we're there for that as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. We talked about last week on the podcast. We kind of put that out there about, is this the best footballing side we've seen as Falkirk supporters? So we put that out on socials and got a few replies to this, Ross. Did you say yes it is?
I thought it was the... I think we've had better individuals.
You go back to the 2006 side, I think, when you look at the side and you go, when you've got Latapy, Gowan, Stokes in the side, you're thinking, that's no bad.
Yeah, yeah. There's been individuals who you would have in your all-time favourite Falkirk 11, right? But in terms of a starting 11, I think this is up there with the best football I've seen. Like, I look forward to every game, which has been a rarity over the years. But you look forward to every single game. We have a brilliant chance of scoring goals in every game, and it just feels like a well oiled, well drilled football team.
Yeah, well, Grant says best football scene I've seen in 20 years. Tate and Spencer are probably the best midfielders we've had in God knows how many years. This current team is probably one of the best, if not the best, I've ever seen. Donald Johnson, he says, John Ross, I've been a Falkirk supporter since 1959, and I would say that the current team is a joy to watch, considering they were assembled for next to nothing. Three others coming to the reckoning over the 65 years, Willie Cunningham's in 1970, Ian McCall and Jim Jeffries in the early 90s, but these three had money spent on them, so for that reason I'll give the accolade to the current side. Listen,
I think that's a brilliant point, John, because we have when we have done well previously, we have spunked money at the league. We have not spunked money this year.
No.
We've not got the biggest football budget in the league. And we are overachieving. And I'm sure Joffrey Glenn and the guys would probably say the same. We are overachieving, but boy, are we overachieving, and we're doing brilliantly well.
Yeah, Dell says McCall's team was great to watch, but was like the Expendables, a team of seasoned pros who came in and done the job. Jeffries unearthed gems who individually were off the scale in the old First Division. This is easily the best football side in my 38 years supporting Falkirk. Add to that the unity of the players, club as a whole, and the fans. Best of times at the moment. It keeps going on. Wee Tam says best football team. Yes, every week there's a debate who's man of the match because week in, week out, every player's 8 out of 10. Very rarely a standout. Spencer and Tate are some of the best I've seen since the 80s as a team. Wow. Carol says it's the best Falkirk team my Bairns have seen as its course first. Definitely up there with Jim Jeffries. And Paul says best side for football and effort. Spencer and Tate, probably the best combination in midfield I've seen for Falkirk. Wow. That's a great shout, isn't it? Who is the best midfield two you've seen? Latvi with Paddy was pretty good. Who's the best midfield two you've seen?
You can go back over the years, but in terms of the last 15, 20 years, this probably is the best two since Latvi was involved in his peak periods, right? 2006, 2007. Prior to that, there's been obviously loads of good double acts in there. But the last 20 years, I would safely say this is it. People will talk about Mark Kerr, Tom Tyo, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Brilliant combo. Are they as good as, and it's no disrespect, because I think Mark Kerr's one of the best midfielders I've seen ever play for Falkirk. But the two of these boys are just, they're on fire, Reed. As the song goes, they're on fire.
Aye, no, absolutely. So, listen, we'll continue this debate, I think, when we get to Behind the Wall on Friday and have a wee bit more chat about it. But, it was really interesting to get your opinion on that. Right, let's get some club news in. And we got a new signing. This came out of absolutely nowhere, Ross.
It did, yeah, no, what? And it's on paper, it sounds like an absolute brilliant one as well. Another one for the future. So, Barney Stewart signs on from Heriot Watt University FC, following an agreement between the two clubs. So he's obviously returned to Heriot Watt until the January window, which I think is quite exciting, where he will then have him with us for a couple of years. As the club's release said, scored 14 goals, 25 games in the East of Scotland League First Division last season. And do you know what? He looks a big boy. I'm liking the look of him.
I said to my wife, I showed a picture. I said, oh, look, Falkirk have signed a new player. And I showed a picture to my wife. She goes, he looks like a rugby player. I was like, aye, he does. Aye.
No, he does. He does. He does look like a rugby player. And do we know, is he former? Has he maybe played rugby in his days?
Oh, I don't know. He scored for Heriot Watt at the weekend, though. I noticed that. I think he scored
25-yard free kick.
Love to see that. I'm just gutted. I think every supporter's asked, why are we not getting him in now, and why are we loaning him back to January?
I don't think he's allowed to play.
Yeah, I'm guessing that'll be the case, that he probably can't play for us. I don't know what the situation is there, but I know, looking forward to him coming in January. He looks like a unit and one for the future. And as I think everyone sort of said, is Keelan Adams came in from that kind of level, and look how brilliantly he's done this season. Yes. So hopefully Barney's another one that, you know, a lot of championship sides were looking for a signature. I believe Ayr were looking at him, Dunfermline. So
great as well, I think.
Yeah, so great that he's decided to come and join the Bairns. And I heard when Paul was saying he was at the Ovie game. So it'll be good to see the boy.
That's good. I'm sure he's probably loved seeing like the atmosphere at the stadium and the fans.
Oh, the disco lights sold him, mate. The disco lights sold him.
Like Keelan, though, he's obviously. Do you know he'll have looked at Keelan Adams as well and the progress he's made. And
aye.
Thought, do you know what? There's an opportunity. If I'm good enough here, I'll get a game.
Yeah,
I will get a game. And thinking back to your week away in London, obviously, like Keelan, he's thought, take a chance on me.
Paul, John, Jesus God Almighty! How many of these are you going to get through the podcast? Keep it going. First Barney to sign for Falkirk. I don't think we've ever had a Barney. Maybe back in the '20s or like early days. I mean, Michael White will be able to tell us probably. Go into the Heritage page and we'll see if there's. I can't think there'll be another Barney.
Let's do a quick check of Better Meadow because it does. There is an option in there for
yes. Every player's listed that's played for the club, isn't it?
Let's go into Better Meadow. We can do this very quickly. So Better Meadow archive. What a shout out to Better Meadow. I think it's Frank and Andrew Hewlett, or Andrew Hewlett, beg your pardon, who edits it. And a brilliant, brilliant.
It is an incredible bit of
website. Actually, it's in surname order, so that is not going to be as quick to find. But yeah, we'll need to do some digging about
right,
that.
Okay, right. If you know of a Barney that played for Falkirk, please let us know for next week's podcast. Shout out to Street Lighting Supplies. They've been a great supporter of the club and they are renewed their sponsors for the club academy, and they're also expanding the deal to include the reserve team as well, which is amazing. Street Lighting Supplies have been a really big supporter of the club. So I always, we don't normally do the sponsor stuff, but I just think hats off to Street Lighting Supplies because they put so much money into the club, and it's great that they're continuing with the academy. And we've seen, hopefully, with the development players coming in now, you know, the boys are mostly on loan at the moment. But yeah, hopefully we start seeing them getting peppered into the first team and getting their chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's obviously, you see the pictures that Ian Sten shares as well, that it's got the Street Lighting Supplies logo. I think the logo is also on the Kevin McAllister stand at points as well. So as you've said, John, massive supporter of the club. All over the years, and it's money into the club, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a good example of a local business getting involved with the club as well.
You missed that one.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Right. Have you got like ABBA like song titles open on your phone right now?
I'm just a big ABBA fan.
Right,
I'm just
okay, a big okay. ABBA fan. Anyway. But no, brilliant. Local business needs support in the club as well. More of that, please. That'd be great. All these big businesses around Falkirk getting involved with the Falkirk Bairns. Listen, let's talk about the Falkirk women, Ross. They are absolutely flying it. Not only are the men's team top of the league, the women's team are top of the championship as well. They gubbed Hutchie Vale 6-0 last Sunday. Brogan Anderson got two. Erin Sludden got one. Liv Murphy, Ellie Roberts. And on her debut, this is amazing, right? 15 years old. Erin Robertson scored on her debut for the women last week. That's an incredible story. Absolutely brilliant.
It's a brilliant story. I saw Ian Sten again and put some information up about her on X, I think it was. Obviously, she left Celtic and then wanted to play for Falkirk. And I think she had to wait until she was 15 to actually kick a ball for Falkirk, because that's the sort of minimum age. But absolutely outstanding. Brilliant to see them top of the league. They're, as you said, they're away to Inverness today. I saw they put a social media post this morning saying it was a very early start. Safe trip to them as well, because obviously I know it's Sunday the now. We're recording on a Sunday morning, but it's to be...
I'm surprised that game's on. It's be horrendous up that way.
It's to be very, very windy. Gale force, so it's Storm Ashley, I think they've called it as well, isn't it? So, hopefully 3 points and a safe
I know it's a big game because Inverness are third as well. So, if they can beat Inverness, it puts down a marker. So, good luck to the girls and brilliant work from Erin Robertson. Again, just an example of some of the money the foundation are doing. And of course, 20% of all our profits from the Falkirk Daft Live will be going into the women's team, which we're delighted to be a partner of this season as well. Talking about the foundation, actually, they have just announced the signing of a memorandum of understanding with the Falkirk Football Heritage Trust. This partnership aims to deliver innovative and supportive programmes focusing on elderly community members, including people living with dementia. As part of it as well, the Falkirk Foundation and the Football Heritage Trust are collaborating with the Crunchy Initiative. Now, the Crunchy Initiative was the group led by my brother that put the naming rights behind on the South Stand, changed it to the Kevin McAllister Stand, which was great, and we'll agree it looks brilliant and, you know, absolutely honours our greatest player. But part of that, they had money left over because of all the fundraising that went into creating the signage and everything, and they had money left over. Now, that was meant to go into a sensory room in the stadium. For some reason or other, that didn't happen. I don't know if there was room or what have you. But anyway, the money that they had from that is now going into a sensory garden, which is going to be adjacent to the community hub, which is being built. So that is going to offer a tranquil therapeutic environment featuring a variety of plants and installations designed to stimulate the senses and provide a peaceful retreat for everyone. So great that they've finally got the money spent, and that's going to be great for the community as well, I guess.
Yeah, sounds a really nice project. It's going to be nice that there's something like that down at the stadium. Because you see I know Hearts, I think, have got something similar. It's like a Garden of Remembrance thing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got loads of plants and there's like I know it sounds a bit daft, but like there's like benches in there for people to go in and obviously remember their loved ones who are maybe big Hearts fans. And it sounds potentially like that's maybe something that people could do here as well. So yeah, no, it sounds a lovely idea and a good use of the leftover funds
Space.
that are
You know,
there.
there's space there as well. And I mean, obviously, there's so much going on at stadium, like the blind cob meet down there. I think there's a Falkirk Blether Cob as well, which is cool, comes through the foundation as well. It's just good community stuff. You asked an interesting question, though. I wonder if that you know, there is restrictions. A lot of people, when they lose a loved one, want to scatter ashes on the pitch, but obviously, due to the pitch, you can't really do that. I wonder if there'll be the option to maybe scatter the ashes. Ashes of loved ones in the sensory garden as well. That'd probably quite nice touch as well, right next to the stadium.
I think so. Obviously, we don't know the answer yet, but hopefully, the guys listening will let us know if that's doable. It would be nice because, as you said, there's not really anywhere that we're aware of that you can do that at the stadium just now. And personally, I think that'd be something lovely. I'd like to, I've still got some ashes from my dad, so I'd like to go and do that as well. So I think if it's allowable and doable, that would be a nice touch.
Just sneak in at the stadium, Ross, and just we'll sneak in one night. We'll just scatter them in
Yeah, exactly.
November. Or you could. Sorry, this is probably really appropriate. Playing five-a-side football, you know, the great escape or the Shawshank Redemption, letting the ashes just drift
Yeah,
over
yeah, exactly. That would be quite funny. It would be quite funny.
here.
It would be. You're right. If it's doable, I'm sure they'll allow it. If you can, I know there is rules and things
Of
about it.
course.
Everything I can.
And the AGM is this Thursday as well. If you're a shareholder, get yourself down there. Obviously, the FSS will be representing if you're a member of the FSS. If you've got any questions or any points, because I think there's a couple of resolutions. It'll be the usual approval of the audited accounts, which I think a lot of people have seen. The directors' election, so that'll just be approved. Stuart, Mark, and Bob Leishman onto the board, and then an auditor appointment and auditor remuneration if you've been to AGMs and all that before. But if you've got any questions or any proposals or anything against any of the resolutions, email if you are a member of the FSS, admin@falkirksupporters.org, admin@falkirksupporters.org, and get your point across with the guys who I'm sure will bring it up on Thursday. You're a shareholder, Ross. Will you be going along?
I hope so. Yeah, I always, do you know, obviously the sort of standard AGM type activities are the same for almost every AGM, but the
Well,
big
I
is
don't think we're
always
going to have any statements or questions at this
no. I'll be
instance.
interesting to hear because obviously you get the Q&A, but there'll also be a football report as well. So John McGlynn and or Paul Smith will be giving their football update as well. I can't imagine there will be too many discerning voices against the football
I
side.
don't think this is going to be a YouTube sensation,
Yeah.
this one.
No, I don't think so. Do you think anyone will ask if we're still scouting the juniors? Because the answer to that is yes, we are.
Oh, can I put money on it though? Can I put money on it right now? Someone's going to ask about the pies. I will put my money on it right now. One of the first questions that's going to come on is asking about the pies, right? Right. Whoever, if you're going along to the AGM, okay, please, right, how many questions in before it gets to the pie question? I am thinking it'll be probably the second question in.
I'd imagine it
Oh,
will
definitely in the top five.
fairly
Definitely in the top five. So if you
popular.
are going to the AGM, let us know when the pie question gets asked, because I will guarantee it will be definitely be asked at some point. Some grumpy old man will raise their hand up and say, "Excuse me, what about the price of the pies at the stadium? They've went up by 50p." It's going to
At
happen, isn't it?
best, I guess what about £1.50?
Oh.
£1.50.
So that'll definitely happen. But get on to the AGM if you can this Thursday. Right! That's enough club news. Been lots to go on. But let's talk about Behind the Wall, our sponsor as well. Stay local, eat and drink global. We are going to be in there Friday night, and Falkirk Daft Venoms are now on sale in the pub. I was along on Thursday. I tried it. My God. See if you come on
Nice.
Friday night. Get involved in it. It is just juice. It's just absolute juice. So we'll get a few on stage, but I have sort of said to Brian, I said, you might want to get a few, like a whole bunch of these pre-prepared. So they're blue, right? We've turned the venom blue. So it's like, it's raspberry vodka. It is blue Krakow. It is wicked. And it's raspberry liqueur as well. Yes. It is very, very nice, I have to say. Get involved in it. You can buy it even if you're not coming on Friday. It's readily available in Behind the Wall now. So it's get involved with it, especially on Friday night. Love to see you all drinking Blue Venoms, Falkirk Daft Venom, which is brilliant. And they've got the pizza as well, Ross, haven't they?
Yes, Brian got in touch to say, as well as branding the Falkirk Daft Venoms, there's also a Falkirk Daft Korean spicy pizza now available. So you can get that now, and it's branded with the Falkirk Daft logo. They've bought some sort of burning iron that burns into the pizza, and these are going to be available. The Venom and the pizza is going to be available on Friday night, but also they are weirdly now going to be a standard element of the menu going forward. Oh, wow. So if you're ever in Behind the Wall with your missus, go, Chalk, listen, let's support the boys, let's get a Falkirk Daft Venom and pizza, didn't you?
Who knew? All those years going up to Behind the Wall and spending a hell of a lot of money across the bar, we now have our own drink there, Ross, and our own pizza. What an absolute accolade. So thanks to Brian. Invincible glasses are back in stock. I had an Invincible pint when I was up there on Thursday as well, and you can get them from the bar for £5. I will need to remember, because Ross messaged me saying, can you get me one? I completely forgot to get one for myself and him. So we're in LA Behind the Wall on Friday, Ross, because we're going to be doing our planning and stuff like that. We'll have our Falkirk Daft pizza, we'll have our Falkirk Daft Venom on the go, and we'll also remember to buy an Invincible glass. But you can get them behind the bar. Now, Dunfermline bus is done now. I think there's enough names for that, but a couple of things that are going on. We've got our next whiskey tasting happening with Dranmore on the October the 31st. So if you want to get out the house on Halloween and just ignore geysers, get up to Behind the Wall and get to a whiskey tasting, because then you don't have to go to the door. Brilliant excuse to get out of having to go to the door and have geysers chapping on your door. So and there's still some tickets available for Kiki D and Carmel, which is the two nights after Falkirk Daft Live on the Sunday. Of course, if you don't want to go to Kiki D, me and Ross will be duetting Don't Go Breaking My Heart at Falkirk Daft Live on the night. So you might not even have to go to Kiki D, you know?
Do you know, I thought you were joking, and then Yavad actually...
Oh, absolutely, it's happening. It's happening.
This is now a worry. This is, the nerves of the night are now gone. It's right. Just the nerves
of... You just got to decide who you want to be, Elton or Kiki.
Going to have to be Elton.
Okay, so you've got your lead. So don't go breaking my heart. So what we'll do is get the crowd to do it as well. So yeah.
Just to double check, this isn't like a karaoke version. There will actually be Kiki D and Elton John singing.
Oh no, I've got a karaoke version of it.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Right, okay. So anyway, Kiki D, if you want to go get tickets for Kiki D, that's a weekend Sunday at Behind the Wall. Let's get into, in fact, we should say Falkirk Daft Live as well. If you are coming along, lots happening on the night, we'll see you down there. If we've not met you before, come up and introduce yourself. Ross will buy you a pint. Remember, Ross is getting a buying around for everyone that comes to Falkirk Daft Live. So come up and introduce yourself to Ross. He'll get you a drink. That'll be fine. But on the night, we're going to have chance to win captain's armbands, the chance for adults to win a captain's armband. We have a bit of heads and tails. There we go. Ross has got them there. If you're not watching the video version, you just held up the captain's armbands there. We've got that on heads and tails. We've also got the chance. We're going to do the visit to the big blue chair once again. It went so well the last time. We're going to do it again. So basically, if you've got a tale that, you know, that go-to tale, like if you watch Graham Norton, it doesn't have to be about Falkirk. It would be nice if it was about Falkirk, but sex debauchery is what I want to hear, Ross, really. Come up on stage, tell your tale. Big sexy Lee Miller, who will be there on the night, will decide if you get an armband or not. Ross got an auction. It's going to be Invincible shut up grabs. Got Poppy shirts. Got all of the Wow's match worn shirt from last season as well, and that's all going to be for Maggie's. And of course, we're going to be reviewing the season so far with the Falkirk TV boys and a special edition of Falkirk Daft Versus by Big Grant, who played Charlie in Still Game. He's writing the questions. I'm slightly worried about the fact we might get beat, Ross, but that's all going to happen. It's going to be a great night. 7 o'clock, get down there. Doors are at 7:30. Get down from 7:00. Doors will be at 7:30. In fact, doors will be at 7:00. Show starts at 7:30. There'll be a wee interval in the middle, and then we'll just rattle, talk shite till whatever time we get kicked off stage, pretty much. But it's going to be a great night. So looking forward to meeting you all. If you haven't met us before, please come up and introduce yourself. Love to meet you all. And Ross, again, will buy everyone a drink.
This is now the worry. This is taking over from Kiki D that we're going to have 200 people a drink on Friday night. It's going to be a brilliant night. As you said, Big Sexy Lee Miller's going to be there. We have our surprise guest, who I've not mentioned.
Yes.
We've got a surprise guest as well, of the Falkirk variety. And the big blue chair will be brilliant. I'm sure we'll get loads of good stories. Win a captain's armband. You can also win a captain's armband at the start. We're going to do heads and tails,
aren't we? Yeah.
And as you said, the quiz with the Falkirk TV guys will be good. However, even before that, I'm actually nervous about facing the special guest we've got today. I think I am up against it here, if I'm
honest. We'll all do. So let's get into it. So we're going to look back at the Hamilton game on Friday, which seems absolutely ages ago. And we're going to, in the company of two men who you probably have seen around the club. If you've been in hospitality, these guys have been integral to the club for many, many years now. I'm delighted we've managed to convince them to come on the podcast. It's none other than Stevie Jackson and Alan Dick.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys, how are we doing?
Hey, morning, gents.
Thanks so much for coming on, guys. Me and Ross have kind of badgered you for a wee while to get you on this podcast, because if you've met Alan or Stevie, if you know Falkirk, you'll know Alan and Stevie. They've been right. So, how long have you guys been working with the club, right, Alan? You've been there how long? Behind the scenes.
I think it's going to be the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. Certainly, I was around when. I was just trying to think about this because I knew you were going to ask me these questions. It was around about the sort of the Jim Henry days, when Jim was a commercial manager, got involved way back then with the club, and been there ever since, really.
You were on the tannoy back in the Brockville days, Alan, weren't you?
I was, aye. In the days where it was also almost a megaphone, I think.
So how long did you do the tannoy for then, Alan?
I did the tannoy, but certainly probably, I don't know, 15 years at Brockville maybe. Wow. Before we moved to Westfield, and then I did a little while at Westfield, and then we got Davy Mack involved, and Davy McIntosh took over that role from Alan, his broadcasting days.
Alan, see, from a tannoy perspective, did you ever have to, because I've got small recollections of this at Brockville, did you ever have to shout out that someone's to go home because their wife's in labour?
I think we did, and I think we did all these sort of things about, you know, the so-and-so, you know, contact the nearest police officer or steward, and then, of course, there was the old one back in the day where it was, you had to read out, or potentially had to read out, Inspector Gates, go to the nearest police officer, and that was the clue that there was a big issue.
I always love that. It's like, you've left your lights on. Could the owner of a blue Astra go out to the... You've left your lights on. That's always my favourite.
or your windy open.
Or your windy open. Ah, brilliant. Stevie, what about you? How long have you been involved behind the scenes?
I got involved behind the scenes after I came off the board, when I was the fans director, and George Craig asked me to carry on in the boardroom because I knew most people by that point. So that would be 2006. That's when I started looking after the people in the boardroom.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've obviously, you know Ross really well, Stevie, as a result of that.
That's right. Well, Ross, obviously, with his loyalty card coming in all the time, we get him to scan it as he turns up.
Stevie, tell him the story about that time last year. Obviously, I'm standing there. Yeah, sorry, you're standing there waiting with a card machine, weren't you?
That's right, aye. So it turned up and all his pals were there. So we'd got the card machine for the club shop and we brought it in and said, if you could just put your loyalty card in there, that would be great, Ross. So I kind of got him going.
Brilliant, brilliant. So what's been your favourite kind of role at the club? Stevie, you obviously mentioned you were a fan director. Did you enjoy that side of things, or was it at a time where it was a bit of hard work?
No, when I was the fans director, we were in the Premier League. That was the time we were 6 minutes away from finishing in the top six with the dodgy Darren Barr goal up at Aberdeen that wasn't given. So plenty kind of cash at that time. So there was no issues. In fact, the 2 years when I was actually on the board, I was saying to somebody last week, the only time we actually ever had a vote during that period was should we pay for the team to go to Spain for a week at the end of the season? And that was the only vote there was because everything was going so well at the time. So my time was, I mean, it was great. Don't get me wrong. Ibrox, Parkhead, Aberdeen, all these sort of boardrooms. Like, so, I mean, it's fantastic. But would I do it again? No, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole because the abuse you got as well. Ross will remember, I mean, I used to go to the away games. I used to go on the Roman Bar bus and I would pay the Roman Bar bus. And then I would come back in the team bus. But you used to get all the abuse about, oh, you're just on a freebies and you're doing this, you're doing that. I bought a season ticket every year when I was on the board. I also bought a season ticket for 5 years when I was doing the boardroom hospitality until I realised that you're not even seeing most of the game. So what's the point of buying a season ticket? But I sponsored players and put money into the club other ways. But no, it was a great time, but great respect for the guys that are doing it now because I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole again.
Who's the most famous person you've had in the boardroom, like from a like either Scottish fame or otherwise?
Well, Peter Schmeichel, I would
Of
say.
course, yeah.
Peter used to come every week, actually. He came every week. Quite a funny story, actually, because I got quite friendly with him because obviously I was looking after him and his wife and Casper's now wife. And I took a friend of mine who I worked with, a heart supporter, through to Tynecastle, a girl that worked in my office. And I took her there, and we're standing in the boardroom. And Peter Schmeichel came in, he came right over to me, he said, "Oh, hi, Stephen, how are you doing?" His wife gave me a cuddle, and this girl just stood like, "Peter Schmeichel, do you know Peter Schmeichel?" And I'm going, "Yeah."
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant. I do remember those days as well, and like we were steaming, and then the Westfield bar up the stairs, and I think Ross, you were there as well, and Peter Schmeichel's wife walked across, and we're like, "Mrs. Schmeichel."
I think also the other one we had was Trevor Brooking.
Oh wow, when was
Trevor
that?
Brooking, he was up for the Scotland under 16 England game. The Varsity Cup, or was it the Challenge Cup that they play?
Right.
The under 16. So he was there. So I gave him a wee tour around the stadium, told him what we were planning to do in future and that. So at the end of the game, very kindly, he came up to me and he says, "This is for you. Thanks very much." And it was a wee silver business card holder engraved with the English FA emblem on it. So he gave me that. So that was quite a nice one. So
Nice,
quite a
nice.
good wee, quite a good wee keepsake.
Alan, you've obviously now you do all the boardroom, the hospitality stuff and hospitality suites, interviewing players after the match. Who's your favourite player to interview after a match, Alan? Who's been the best?
I think they're all good. The current squad are particularly good, John and Ross. They're fantastic guys. This year I was saying to somebody recently, this year the guys coming up to hospitality after the game, they're on a rota, so they know they're coming up, but they all give the body language that they want to be there.
Yeah.
Whereas in previous seasons, and I know results are always a key component, but in previous seasons it's always been the sort of feeling sometimes that they're here because they've got to be. Really good. Some of them don't want to talk too much, and sometimes these are the ones who actually can't get stopped talking. Probably one of the hardest ones ever was Craig Sybald. Craig was a really, really shy 16, 17-year-old, and Craig would quite often come up to hospitality and you'd say to Craig, "Well, good game then, Craig." "Aye." And you had to drag the, and it didn't matter how open the question was, you had to drag answers out of Craig. And I always remember the really funny one with Craig Sybald was when we stopped using Stirling University and came back to Fokker Stadium to train. One of the early days after that, I said to Craig in hospitality, "Well, Craig, big difference in not training at Stirling University now and training here at the stadium." And he went, "Yeah, I can get an extra 20 minutes from my bed." But the guys are brilliant, and you've seen that yourself in hospitality. The guys come up to hospitality and they're always honest. They're always honest, even in the dark, dark days that we had. in the last 4 or 5 seasons. There was talk, come up and be openly honest about, we didn't deserve to win that game. We got what we deserved, and I always think that's great. And the guys are just brilliant. And of course, the interaction they have with the hospitality guests and signing autographs and photographs is just this. I think for a club like Falkirk, is second to none.
Yeah,
Alan, John, I was just about to say, I think it's great we've got Alan on because we've now got someone on who's actually been in hospitality more than me.
Finally, you've got there.
Finally. Both Stevie and I get the leftovers from hospitality if they eat, and if there's nothing left, we don't get anything, right?
So, all right, okay. Well, we'll make sure next time I'm in, we'll make sure we slip some you guys with.
And just like Stevie saying, we've always had some other sort of good people. I can always remember we've had Archie McPherson in hospitality as well talking. We've had the late great Craig Brown and things talking as well. So, it's not just been players after the game. We do tend to have people in before the game sometimes. To talk and these guys, the stories they tell about football was just unreal.
Can imagine
some of the best times, Ross, is the Dunfermline game. Because right. Jim Leishman's always happy to come in and have a chat with people and go around the boxes. And him and Alec Totten will go together, and it's like Jack and Victor. and Jim Leishman always finishes by saying, Alec, do you have one of these? And he always goes like that with his lapel, and it's his MBE. he says, do you have one of these, Alec? And he's like, no, I've not got one of them. He says, it's only the good managers that get Jim's brilliant. He has a bit of banter with everybody, and particularly the females. Like, he likes a bit of banter.
I've heard this tagline as Google me hen. I believe
that's it.
But yes, boys, delighted that you've come on here, and we could talk hours and hours about your stories, but let's talk about Hamilton on Friday night. Ross, I watched it on the telly. You watched it on the telly. Alan, Stevie, were you at the game?
I watched it on the telly as well.
Telly. Everyone watched it on the telly. And actually, I absolutely was delighted in the decision when I saw that rain right at the start of the game. I was like, this was a wise decision, because my wife was very much like, why are you not going to the game tonight? She's wanting to tell it herself, and I was like, no, I'm just going to watch it on the telly tonight. But fair play, about 1,000 Bairns turned up for it, so it looked like a great support. I think it was about a support of about 1,700, most of them obviously made up of Falkirk supporters. So again, just following the team around the country, even when it's on telly on a wet and miserable Friday night, it was great to see. Unchanged from Thistle, Ross, that's what we expected, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Even though I know we didn't win against Thistle, but as I think John McGlynn mentioned it on his post-match interview with the BBC, we played better probably against Thistle and the Livy than we did against Accies and Ray. We obviously only drew those games, but yeah, no, I wasn't shocked about the starting lineup. Like you watched on BBC as well, although I had to go through iPlayer because I was still down south to get to be able to watch it, and then I had a 4-hour drive home at full time, but that's another story. I wasn't shocked, and I'm glad we didn't change it, because what a start to the game we made.
Certainly did. Before we get into the game, good news that listen to Paul Smith, that Ross McKeever is a bit closer than they thought. I think it was initially 8 weeks they suspected, so that hopefully means we can maybe get him in maybe late November, mid-November. That would be good to see. No date yet for Tom or Call, though I did hear from Call Donaldson was on the radio yesterday. He's now become really good friends with you and Cameron, which just blows my
it's
mind.
It's always a worry, isn't it? That is a worry.
It really does. It worries me. So I'd asked Ewan yesterday, I said, any word on when he's back? And I think Ewan had said it'll be another month when he spoke to Call yesterday. So, and then Tom, fingers crossed, he can get in. Sean Mackey's, I thought it was just a slight knock, but it seems to have been worse than expected.
Yeah, there's not been any news or questions asked about it. Obviously, Alan, I know you'll be on your hosting duties this weekend. I don't know if you'll have a chance to ask anybody a question about it. But yeah, it's interesting. We've got, obviously, Callum, we know about, because the gaffer had given an update for the Thistle game. But yeah, Sean Mackey and Tom, we've not had an update recently.
Yeah,
I'd asked Tom Lang at the Livingston game on your behalf.
Thank you, Stevie.
I asked him how he was feeling and how he was coming back. and he'd said that he'd got the all clear to start running.
Oh, good.
So he was back doing that. So I said, "You'd be delighted by that one." And he says, "Ah," he says, "he's a good lad, him, and actually."
That's
So he's
massive.
got the all clear for the running side of things. So hopefully, it'll be a, I still think a wee while, but at least he's on the way back now.
Yeah, that's good. That good news to hear. But I mean, the thing is, oh God, when you look at young Luke Graham and Hendo, Hendo is playing like the Kaiser at the moment. And Luke Graham looks just years beyond the age he is. His confidence is unbelievable.
It was quite funny because again at the Livingston game, the guys were watching the game from the Alec Parker Lounge, and Robert Cox turned around to him and he says, "You know, guys, even you're all fit, you might not get a game." Then they got up and walked out the
It's
door.
true though. It is. It's true. I think the centre back pairing specifically, of Luke and Hendo, like you couldn't split that up just now. It's going to take a bad situation or a bad injury to someone to change that, in my opinion.
Yeah, telling is it looking that way? Obviously, we got off to a flyer in Hamilton, just out the traps yet again. It's just a mark of this side and the way they played over the last couple of years. They just are relentless from the first whistle, and 5 minutes gone, and we get the goal. Great work from Aidan Nesbitt. Great ball in, and it was one of those horrible balls for a defender. When Brad Spencer's at the back post, and now the big question was it a Brad Spencer goal? Was it an own goal? I think TV shows it was probably an own goal, Alan.
Just a no more, I think. Hey, it was like I know the TV guys debated that for ages, but hey, Brad Spencer ran away with his Alan Shearer arm up. He was going to claim it all day long, I think. But you're right, a great start to the game, and Nizzy in that last in that beginning, that first 5 minutes, Nizzy just he just puts himself all over that park. He must do some phenomenal Ks in a game. But it was a great cross in and a great assist again for him, and the goal's in the back of the net. And you know what? Doesn't matter who scores it, the ball's in the back of the net.
Yeah, I think it would have been the back of the net if it hadn't been an own goal anyway, because Brad would have been there. But Stevie, Aidan Nesbitt, and Alan mentioned him there. How important to this team is he? He just you notice when he's not playing, don't you?
He's just a machine, isn't he? I mean, he's up and down that park. I remember many years ago, a scout who was looking at Scott Arfield said to me that he's a good player, but he's not got an engine. How wrong was he on that one? But Aidan just seems to go right for the kind of kickoff. The energy that guy's got, like, is unbelievable. It was quite funny because my wife, who's not really into football, watched it on Friday night, and she's always on saying, "Just get in about their ankles. Get in about their ankles." That's her tactics. Do you know
So
what?
similar to my tactics at
I,
fives.
but do you know what? That's what they've done. That's what they've done. The first half was, I thought it was awesome, absolutely awesome. That the pressure that they put on, and you've seen the players, the forward line sort of saying to the midfielders and defender, "Push up, push up." So Hamilton didn't get out of their half, because we were basically playing football in their half, and I thought the first half was absolutely phenomenal. But then halftime came too early, actually. We'd kept going. But then Hamilton done the same to us for the first 20 minutes. But then what happened then is that the defence came into play. As you said earlier on, Big Hendo was outstanding. And then Nicky made a couple of vital saves as well. So weathered that 20 minutes, and then I thought we were very comfortable in the end. But
Absolutely, absolutely. Top of the second goal, Callum Miller, who we've talked about on this podcast before, Ross, about the, he's not as effective out on that right, but again, that was probably the best game he's had out on the right, I would say so far.
I would say so far that is probably one of the best games he has had out in the right. And
He
I
gave
have a
Jackson
stat.
Longridge a hell, that bat boy had an absolute
He did.
shocker. It was no surprise to see him getting whipped off at half time,
Well, that
but
was it. Both fullbacks got hauled off at half time because they were on bookings, weren't they? And he was obviously worried that he was going to get sent off.
Yeah, I mean, he cut. Obviously, he had that free kick, Calvin Miller, just before he got his goal, and which led to back, Jackson or Longridge getting booked. But again, it's what I think John McGuinn said that he wants more of Calvin Miller when he's on that right hand side, is cutting in onto his left and getting a shot off, and he did. And a kind of deflection off Jackson Longridge into the back of the net. It went.
It was almost poetic, wasn't it? It was almost poetic.
Oh, I know.
I do have a stat, John, because I was sent this on last night. So it's not Donald Johnson, but I've got an unnamed stats man who does get in touch with me.
Oh, do you have a source? I like this.
I have a source. And what he's told me, right? So this, because I agree with you, I thought that was Calvin's best game. But what he was saying to me is, since Calvin has dropped to the right-hand side, he has a goal contribution every 2.4 games now, whereas in League One and when he's been playing on the left, he's at 1.4.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because I, you know, I think from the outside looking in and hearing from what Calvin says is you get that hint that he would rather be on the left, but as with Ethan Ross at the moment, is undroppable on that left-hand side.
Yeah, and as you said, Ethan's on a rich vein of form as well. So, and you can just tell in the current circumstance with the squad the way it is obviously John McGlynn's favoured sort of pairing on each wing.
Yeah. So Calvin gets his goal, and then a couple of minutes later, didn't have to wait long for a penalty. Dylan Tate this time driving into the box, and yet again, Jackson Longridge pushing him in the back, which was apparently a dubious penalty, according to John Rankin. Alan, what did you think?
Unbelievable. But hey, that's a manager's take, isn't it? But, you know, it was right. I mean, he, you know, just done it all day long, and then just once too many, pushing a deliberate straight push in the back, down he went. You know, I don't know whether that should have been a red. I don't know. You know.
That's what I was thinking, guys. I thought that would have been a red card as well.
I thought it was a red. Stevie, what did you think?
Definitely should have been sent off. Alan and myself were talking about it, and we were saying, like, you know, ridiculous. The hand came straight out, and it was an unbelievable push. But as I say, they came on dubious penalty, and I thought it was quite funny, the commentators actually saying, and what did you think? Was it a dubious penalty? No.
No one else thought it was a dubious penalty.
So it was quite funny listening to the commentators when they were, James McFadden laughing, saying, no, it was a penalty. Like, there's no doubt about it. It was a penalty. So,
and it was also the worst Falkirk player that he could have pushed, because Dylan Tate's speciality is falling down, picking up the ball mid-roll.
That's right.
He gets a free kick every single time.
Honestly, I always say, you know how I like to talk about professional wrestling on this podcast? He should be a wrestler because he sells so well. And now in the business, Ross, we call selling when a wrestler gets hit, they sell so well. So are we nudging Dylan Tate's back? He falls on the deck and, like you say, catches the ball, and he buys a foul every single time. And I love it.
Yeah.
As I've said before, see if you were the opposing fans, you would hate Dylan Tate. You would absolutely despise him, but I'm a Falkirk supporter and I love the boy.
The thing is, I didn't think he was even going to get the ball for a crossover. I think the ball was going out.
Potentially.
But it wasn't even like a wee nudge. I mean, the hand was fully out. You know, it was so... I think John Rankin's going to look at that on the telly and go, what an idiot, I was saying a dubious penalty. You've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's standing at the side of the park. Disney see it, but I mean, it's probably the most obvious penalty that I've seen this season.
But 3-0 up, and it's that step 2 minutes. I mean, Brad was lucky with the rebound, getting it, but you know, no worries. Why did he not do an Alo and smash that into the top bin like he did at Alo? He tried to place it this time.
It was a cheeky one too. That's not a bad thing.
It was a cheeky one too. But Brad does what Brad does. He was great. And then, like you said, Stevie, if the calf had just kept going, we would have smashed them, because Ethan Ross, that little run he made and just about curled it in. But what a goal that would have been. You were just like, oh, just go in. And then there was a brilliant, brilliant move from Falkirk, which would have been one of the goals of the season for me. And Gary Oliver's shot was just kept out off the line. It was a great passing move, starting from the back, end up with Gary Oliver, and it was just off the line. You think, if this keeps going, we're going to absolutely smash it. Just half-time came too soon.
I think our back to front stuff in that first half was just amazing. From Nicky right out through the spine of the team, sometimes wide, sometimes down the middle, but the back to front stuff was just fantastic.
Yeah.
Do you know what's nice to watch as well is see when you look at the players, they're smiling all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're enjoying what they're doing. Obviously, you're going to enjoy when you're winning, but they guys look as if they really enjoy playing together. And as Alan said, in hospitality, you see them coming up and they're all together. You know, and I know we've had over the years all these wee phrases that one club, our town, and all this, but see, all this one about we're in it together, that this year and last year really shows that we are all in it together. Because, I mean, I've never seen a squad of players that are so much tight, and they're all there for each other. And it's fantastic to watch, fantastic.
I do like that, Stevie, but see all this birthday card pish, as I would say, is still a game. these catchphrases that football teams come up with, I absolutely despise.
No, I get it. Okay.
I despise all that stuff. But like you say, it is a good motto for this team that we've got just now. No surprise that Hamilton made three changes at half time. And certainly the change that they made, obviously they changed the fullbacks because they were both on a booking. But putting the extra man into midfield and going two up top, with that certainly upset us a wee bit, Ross.
It did to a degree. I don't know if it upset us is the word, but it made us have to think, because as Stevie had just said, we were so in control in that first half. Like we could have been 5-0 up and Hamilton couldn't have moaned about it. So we had to adjust to the changes, and I think John McGlynn again alluded to it post-match. It took us 15 minutes to get going, or to react, beg your pardon, to the changes that were made. But boy, did we react again, because whilst Aki certainly had a bit more of the ball in that second half, we never really looked in danger of losing the goal. And as the guy said earlier on, yeah, Nicky had a couple of saves to make, but we had our chances as well.
Yeah, we did. Alan, the goal, anyone at fault? I mean, Nicky, I don't know if he would been able to hold the ball.
But I think Nicky did well, as well as he could do, but there was obviously a wee potential, I don't know if it was communication or just what it was, but between McCann and Graham at the back there, probably one thought the other was going to go for it, I don't know, but Nicky did what he was asked to do, saved it, the initial shot, and as these things happen, it rebounds to a Hamilton player.
And as Ross said, Stevie there, Nicky, brilliant. Two big saves, close to... I mean, if it went 3-2 at that point, just shortly after, but Nicky, I think, just proving that, again, we spoke about on the podcast before, that consistency of being the number one and giving a run the team is just doing him the world of good.
I think you're right there. I mean, I've listened to all the podcasts before, and and I've heard you talking about this, you're in for this month and you're in for this month. And I never liked that. I don't know if there was some sort of deal or anything like that. I don't know about that. But certainly, Nicky playing now consistently is what a difference. I mean, you see, he's got a lot more confidence. I know his dad has been speaking a lot to him as well, because I see him at most games as well. And he's been given a bit of coaching there as well, which is great. But certainly, everything about his game's improved. Even his distribution is good. Although a couple of wee kind of scary moments he had, but that's what happens when you're a goalkeeper. That's what goalkeepers do. But I just think he's turning into be a great goalkeeper, and it's somebody. I mean, he's still a young lad.
Yeah.
This could be one for the future.
I know, absolutely. You know, when you look at actually the ages of the team, there is, I would say, a lot of sellable assets on that team now. And I think Nicky could be, teams are looking for that goalkeeper that can distribute. Nicky's really developing that side of his game, and he's a great shot stopper. So it's great seeing, one, like you say, one for the future and potentially a moneymaker as well. Chances, a little less in the first half, Ross, but Gary Oliver, unlucky, hitting the upright and getting cleared off the line. Gary Oliver, I thought, had again a good game in the nine, or the false nine almost.
No, I thought he had a really good game, and he obviously had two really good chances with that one in the first half. The second one, he was just really unlucky because it could have hit the post and went in. Obviously, it hit the post and went out, but the keeper and the defenders were nowhere near him, and it was a brilliant, brilliant cross in by Calvin at the corner kick as well, actually. But yeah, really, really unlucky. And as we know, we had another couple of late chances. Finn Yates had a really, really good chance that was obviously well blocked by the defenders, who were just defending for their lives. They couldn't handle us. Ackies. They couldn't handle us. But they're not the only team. We've now played every team, and every single team at points have not been able to handle us.
Yeah. Where do the I mean, where do you think, Alan, that you've seen, like we've seen, all the teams, we've had this discussion on the podcast. Are Falkirk the best team in this division?
I think they're the best footballing team, but best footballing teams maybe sometimes don't win you a league. But I think we're going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season. I don't know, we don't want to start the rumours going too early that we're going to win the league. But
Oh, we do.
you know,
Oh, the Ross is on that bandwagon already. Don't you worry, Alan.
I don't know. I mean, looking at the home games this season, I think Queen's Park gave us a good game. You know, Livingston will just battle away. They're sort of sneaking under the radar a wee bit there again at the weekend. You know, tough games ahead, but we've just got to do what we need to do. Continue to play that fantastic style of football we're playing, bringing the guys off the bench, like John did on Friday night again, just refreshing and bringing people on. Captain Chaos coming on, and first, what was the first thing he did? He drew another foul, another booking, from the Hamilton guys because they just couldn't handle him either.
No, it's just, Alfie's a great impact sub off that bench now. And like you say, the team as it is just now, we're doing so well in the absence of these injured players. Because you've got to remember, that's five first team players, injured at the moment, and our talisman, Cal Morrison. But Ethan Ross is been exceptional. He's really stepped up as well. And Alfie just, is not getting into that team. He had a little bit of a run, but yeah, they're just doing so well. They're just doing so well. You just worry again about injuries, for any further injuries, and it starts tipping that way. Because you looked to the bench on Friday night and you went, oh, well, we know the obvious options to come off the bench are Finn, Alfie, McKenna, and Shanley. But beyond that, you start going, all right, okay, we've not got the options that we would like to have.
I also wonder where we are with bookings as well, John, because I think that might be something that's going to sneak up and bite us one day as well.
Certainly, Dylan Tate can't be far away. I would suspect Dylan Tate cannot be far away from a suspension at this point because he seems to pick up a yellow every other game.
You're right. I think, is it not something like six yellows gets you, is it five or six yellows gets you a suspension? I know it's cleared at the halfway point though. So it doesn't count, like, so you've got obviously
Right.
up to 18 games, but we are only on game 10, and we need to get up to that 18, after 18, beg your pardon,
Yeah,
that's then
because
cleared. So you would think we may have a
Dylan would be
game
a
and a half or a.
Dylan would be a big loss because then, well, in saying that, I've got Finn Yeats to come in there, and he's been exceptional whenever he's played as well. So,
Yeah.
well, it's good to have. Listen, let's hear what Mr. McGlynn had to say after the match.
Must be really pleased with that performance, especially the first half.
Yeah, delighted that we're sitting with 23 points after 10 games. It's a good number of points to have after 10 games. Put in a little marker tonight again that our performance merited. Our first half performance was different class, a great start in the game. Not sure if Brad got the final touch or not. I think it was a great ball in. I think Nizzy's put a great ball in and he's got in the back post. Not sure if it was an own goal or if Brad got a touch on it. But it was a great start and I thought we started really, really well. Unfortunately, I thought we just a little bit over on the ball, a bit elaborate on the ball, and we turned the ball over too much after that, and allowed Hamilton to get a little bit of grip in the game without creating anything really. But then once we managed to get a foot back on the ball, it took a wee while, and I thought we were very, very good. I thought the rest of the half were excellent, and of course we get the penalty, and Brad scores his penalty, and Calvin gets his goal coming in on his left foot and getting a strike, which were. Well, that's what we want him to do. He should be doing that more often and get more goals. But we're a threat every time. I think there's a ball clear off the line. Could have went 4-0. Would have been a great move. And I think there's another great move involving Ethan Ross coming in the pitch and had a shot that went wide and maybe looking for a better finish there. So the first half was probably very enjoyable for all the fans to watch, whether at the game or watching it on TV. So I'm sure we're delighted with that. And then the second half is a test. Fair play to John and Hamilton to change things around. They played a 4-4-2 diamond, two up top. They played a lot more direct, and they got an early goal back. So if you're 3-0 down at half time, the one thing you do want is an early goal. From our point of view, we're trying to guard against that. But then we put ourselves in that situation, and I thought we dealt with it really well. To come here, they get a lifeline. They get back in the game. Fair play to them, and then we've got to stay strong. And we did, and I thought, well, well, comfortable in the game after that initial goal and another attack where I think Nicky's got to make a reasonable save. I thought we're a little bit of a threat at the other end as well, you know, to add to the score. So all in all, good performance away from home. Away from home now, we've won 4 games away from home from the 10, which is again very, very good. We've won the most games away from home in the league, and our home form's not too shabby either. So delighted with where we are.
There we go. Adam didn't get dug out this week as well, so that was nice to see as well. But John, you can never, as I always say, he's got that poker face. You can never tell if he's delighted or not. He seemed a wee bit angry. There was a wee bit of hint of he wasn't very happy with certainly the second half performance there, Ross.
Yeah, do you know, he will be though. He'll be annoyed that he's lost the goal.
Yeah.
More than anything else. And it was, as we touched on when we were talking about the game, it was a little bit of a sloppy goal to lose. Maybe a bit, as Alan said, a bit of communication between the defenders. But he's a perfectionist. He's determined to play the perfect brand of football. And I'm here for it, because this is, as we talked about before the boys came on, I genuinely think this is the best football team we have seen in 20 years. And
it's a good question to ask both Alan and Stevie. We talked about this in the podcast. We talked about it earlier in the show, boys. Is this the best footballing Falkirk side you've seen, Alan?
Certainly the best footballing side since the Jeffries days. I mean, you know, some of that stuff under Jim and Billy was fantastic, but this really kind of echoes a lot of that. And we're saying about the togetherness as well. The guys, Stevie was saying about the togetherness of the players. And I think, you know, that was evident. I think the Jim Jeffries days as well. They were playing for their pals. You know, it wasn't just turn up a Saturday because this is my job. It's my pals I'm playing for, and I don't want to let my pals down. And I think that's really, really what John's brought to the club now. After years in the desert, we're back there, and John and Paul are just, I don't know. You're right. I think they're perfectionists, and they want to be the best.
What do you think, Stevie?
So we've kind of spoken about this just when we're watching the games, and we're saying we kind of link it a wee bit like. Not in the same class, obviously, but Alec Ferguson with his Man United team, when they brought all the young boys through together and they stayed together and they went in. So John's done that last year and he's done it this season, and he's kept the same team with the same togetherness, brought in one or two wee changes. But as Alan says, it's like watching all your pals out playing football when you were young. You all went out together and you played together. And I think, yes, I mean, there's been some great teams. I mean, I even heard somebody saying the other day that Brad Spencer's been linked alongside Russell Lattipy, kind of for the control of the game that he done. But I mean, Russell never used to go outside the centre circle. He just liked to be in there and pass the ball around. Brad's all over the park.
Yeah.
So yes, I mean, it's a great football team, and it's great to watch. And I think that reflects on the crowds as well. I mean, when you look at the crowds that we've got, and then you look at next week's, looks like a sellout for 9,000 people at a championship game. I mean, unbelievable. So, fantastic to be involved in the club and to watch that. And even neutrals are saying, like, you know, great. I was out last night at a sportsman's dinner in Edinburgh, and full of jambos who don't particularly like us, like, but, and they made that perfectly clear last night. But they said Falkirk were great on Friday night. They were absolutely fantastic. The football is absolutely fantastic. So, yeah, great times.
Yeah, good. Let's hear what you guys had to say about the game. Craig kicks us off with saying, Brad Spencer is a very sexy man. That's the tweet.
It's true. Gav says, Hogarth, Hendo, Spencer and Ross all worthy of man of the match. How Aki's kept 11 players on the park mystified me. But on to next week with McKeever and Morrison, another week closer to returning.
Yeah, random Falkirk fan says, lovely football, lovely day. How Aki's kept 11 men on the park, well, I will never know. Outplayed them in the first half and we're coasting in the second. Ross, Hogarth and Spencer had great times again, but still missing McKeever. Sounded like a home game on TV. Bring on the Fifers.
It's a good point and a good shout out as well. Obviously, you said it earlier, John, we had more fans officially at the game, but we actually outnumbered them by, I think, I believe about 300, because the given home figure was including season ticket holders and ticket holders who didn't go. So there was literally 300 more Falkirk fans in the ground as well. So it was, it probably did feel like a
whole game. And Ultras did a fantastic song. Right. And what that it was, as we've got a new song, which is great, the Wagon Wheel to Ryan Shanley song, which is brilliant.
I liked it. I think it's good. And you know what? See if it, again, we've talked about Ryan when he gets a run on the team. If any of these small little things help a player, help the team, I'm all for it. 100%.
Absolutely.
James said, it's delicious to see home fans leaving after 35 minutes. That is always a good sign, isn't it? We were outstanding in that first half. Perhaps some complacency at the start of the second with some misplaced passes, but we took back control, saw it out easily. However, we do need to start finishing more chances, though. Come on, you Bairns.
Yeah, you just hope that doesn't come back. I mean, you look at the stats in our games and the amount of chances that we do create, the amount of shots we get, you just hope that doesn't come to bite us. It hasn't so far, so that's the good news. Derek says, took off the foot off the gas in the second half, playing against 12 men again. Ref and the linesman were clueless to deliberate handball twice in the second half. I know there was. I heard shouts from the crowd. But I don't know if it, he certainly didn't show any replays on the telly for it. But
I don't know if it was clear and obvious. But
I think
the only thing the ref for me got wrong was I thought he would have
should have been sent off. Dex says, glad we dominated that first half and taking chances in horrid conditions. I did predict 3-1. Says Derek. There you go.
Fair play. A Hamilton fan. It's not the Hamilton fan, I don't think. It's Hamilton. Michael got in touch to say, you guys were very good in the first half. If anyone finishes ahead of you, they will win this league.
I think that's quite obvious. But there you go. But Andrew says, thought Ross was excellent tonight. A new league, but normal service against the Ackies. Come on, ye Bairns.
That's a good show. Do we get to keep Ackies now?
It seems that way.
Craig says, unbelievable. Fully deserved and could or should have been more. Ethan Ross, I think, got half their team booked. My man of the match.
Yeah. Kieran Coon just says Ryan Shanley. That's all. I'm assuming that's in reference to the new chant.
Yes. That must have been one of Kieran's creations. Fair play.
Yeah. Well played, Kieran.
Yeah. And last but not least, Chris says, love this team. The first half was the sexy 10 out of 10 you went home with. We're from the nightclub. However, the second half was how they looked the morning after. A win is a win. Though Spencer, a shoo-in for rated this week. He was outstanding. P.S. It's chilly in Fife.
Minus 15 at the moment, I believe. Is it? Or is it actually the table? They got a draw yesterday, didn't they?
Yes, I think so. No. Yeah, we're on 23. They're on 6, so they did. They got a point on the board. So
well done them.
Well done them.
Yeah. Minus 17 now then, is it? 23 minus 17, there we go. Right, okay. Well, Chris has said it, Falkirk Daft rated. Let's go for that first. Ross, who gets your Falkirk Daft rated player from Hamilton?
I don't know who said that, whether it was Alan or Stevie, but he was all over that park yesterday. And I'm going to give him the first goal as well. So it's two goals and a brilliant man of the match perspective. So I'm going to go Brad Spencer.
Alan?
That's to be Spencer. You know, he just dictates everything through him.
Stevie?
It could be anybody in the midfield, but Brad Spencer, just awesome just now. If people aren't looking at him, I'd be very surprised.
I think that's a full house for Brad Spencer. And surprisingly, his first Falkirk Daft rated player of the season. There you go. Can't believe that. That's the first time. That is amazing. It's a surprise considering he's probably been our best player this season. That's the first nomination that Brad's had. I think you just expect the consistency. That's why it's always, you know, someone else will get it because you just expect Brad to do Brad things. And as Craig said, he is a very sexy man. So there we go. Right, Falkirk Dafty. Have we got anyone for a Falkirk Dafty? Ross Wayne?
No, not from a Falkirk perspective. As I say, the ref, I think, should probably get it. They should have been down to 10 men, but I can't think of anyone else that would be deserving of it.
Alan?
Certainly on the park, no, but I don't know if anybody picked it up at half-time. The Tanner announcer at Hamilton played, "Why Does It Always Rain On Me?" So I don't know if that was in reference to the weather or the fact that we're getting gubbed 3-0 at that time.
I did hear that. Stevie?
For me, it's John Rankin and his dubious penalty.
Do you know what? I was going to say the dubious penalty shout from John Rankin. Has to give John Rankin it. There you go. Well, we'll give it to John Rankin then.
Let's do it.
Dubious penalty, John. So there we go. John Rankin gets the Falkirk Dafty of the week. Right. There we go. The game's dealt with. Now it's time for the real game. Now, Ross, I can't believe this. Of all the weeks, you're up against Alan and Stevie. It's Falkirk Daft versus...
I'm not happy about this, by the way.
By the way, I wouldn't be happy about this either, because they could double team you. Why don't we give... We'll take it in turns. So we've got Alan, Stevie, right? So we'll get a question each against Ross.
Yeah, I'll just get Alan on text here, so as I can...
I feel a double team on Ross might be a bit too much for you two. Right, so five questions about the Bairns. It's a penalty shootout still quiz here. This week, I've got the questions. Ross will be representing Falkirk Daft. The current score is 6-1 to Falkirk Daft, isn't it, Ross? After my... terrible, terrible performance last week when I got grannied.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible. But sorry, okay, so Ross, you got pen and paper there?
Yes, I do. Yep.
Fantastic. Alan, you'll go up first, and then Stevie, you'll go for the next question. I want to see those hands put up as well, boys, because I don't want to see any texting going on. Stevie Jackson looking at you. Right, okay. Right, Ross and Alan, here is the first question. Alan, you... wait till Ross has written down something, then you can give me your answer. Okay. What club was Simon Stainrod at before joining Falkirk? What club was Simon Stainrod at before joining Falkirk? Ross, you're writing something down.
I am. I don't, the spelling is wrong.
Oh, I think you might be onto one. Alan, what you got?
Rouen.
And Ross, you've written...
I don't know what the spelling was, but that's what I put as well.
It's the wrong spelling, Ross, but these are both right. I'm going to let you off with your spelling. It is Rouen, so one apiece. Right, Stevie, coming to you next. Which member of the current squad has played for Raith, Hibs and Berwick Rangers? Which member of the current squad has played for Raith, Hibs and Berwick Rangers? Ross, write something down.
I'll tell you once I'm done it. This is a guess, though. 2 seconds. Because it could be one of two.
Could be one of two, probably.
I don't know. If, right.
Okay. Right, what have you got? What have you written down? Sorry, Stevie, you go give me an answer.
I was going to go Dylan Tate.
You've went Dylan Tate. Ross
I
as well.
With the other option, I went Sean Mackey.
2-1, Falkirk Daft.
Yes.
Back to you, Alan. Right, Ross and Alan. How many games did Chris Waddle play for Falkirk? How many games did Chris Waddle play for Falkirk?
Okay, I've got mine. I'm confident with this one.
bit of pressure on you here, Alan. Bit of pressure.
Pure guess. I'll say 4.
4 is Alan's guess. Ross? 4. These are both right. 3-2 to Falkirk Daft. Right.
From memory, it was...
Clydebank,
St Mirren,
East Fife,
and Airdrie, was it?
That's correct, yeah. Mm. Well done. Next question, question number 4. Discounting friendlies, who scored the first goal of the season? Stevie.
Oh, wait. I'll need time.
Have a think.
What was the first game?
You have to go back. That's where you need to work back from.
Oh Christ! Right, wait now.
Okay. Well, are you counting League Cup games?
Yep. So discounting friendlies. Who's right.
two sec? 2 seconds.
Right. Okay. He's writing something down, Stevie.
Yeah. This is a guess, but I'm just going to go for McKeever.
You went for McKeever, Ross.
I went for McKeever as well.
Both wrong. It was Dylan Tate against Dundee United. 3-2. Right. Fifth and final question. Ross, you need to get this one wrong. Stevie, you need to get this one to go to a tie break and hope that Ross gets it wrong. Okay. And I think he's... Oh, for God. In order of our next game against Dunfermline, here is the question. In what year was Super Tuesday? In what year was Super Tuesday? Alan, have a think. Ross, write it down. In what year was Super Tuesday? Alan's memory's gone. You would have been on the tannoy then, Alan. Maybe. Oh, no, maybe. You were on the tannoy for Super Tuesday?
Probably, aye. I don't know. I'll need to guess. We'll go 92.
92. Ross, what have you written down?
It was 1 or 2 years for me. I couldn't remember if it was 88 or 89.
87, I thought.
One, yous are both wrong. It was 1989, which does mean, however, Falkirk Daft are back to winning ways thanks to Ross. 7-1, defeated both Stevie Jackson and Alan Dick, let it be known. Ross Wayne beat both of them. Your guys' jobs and hospitality are completely under threat now from Ross Wayne, and not just because he knows your speech inside out.
Ross isn't getting in the next day.
Well done, Ross. That is well played. Well done.
I am very chuffed with that because I was nervous for this one.
Well done, well done. Stevie, Alan, thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure to have yous both on. If you are going to hospitality, buy the boys a drink and leave some dinner for them as well, because we like to see that. But thanks for so much for coming on, Falkirk Daft. Really appreciate your time. And if you want to be a guest pundit, please do that by dropping us an email, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk, or slide into our DMs like a long-lost lover. Do that on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
Let's look ahead now to Saturday and make sure we all get our injections, as Dunfermline are coming to Falkirk, and let's get a man on who knows Dunfermline very well. He's a radio colleague of mine, the host of the Big Saturday Football Show and the Big Scottish Football Podcast. You'll hear him on the Gary Spence Show on 4th One and Clyde One. It's Stephen Mill, everyone.
How you doing, guys? You all right? Thanks for having me.
Good, mate, good. How are you, Stephen? Let's more to the point. How are you? How are Dunfermline doing? I see it was another draw against Morton yesterday.
Well, it was a draw, but it was a clean sheet. And I think by all accounts, you know, I think there was only one team wanting to win it, and it certainly wasn't Morton. So it was a Dougie Imrie special, particularly the second half. I think we could have won, but I think, you know, it's going to be our problem. It's been our problem so far this season, and it will be a problem for the rest of the season. We can't score. It's obviously not ideal preparation going into next week as well. So, could we just skip forward a couple of weeks until this is all over? I think that's probably what I'm wanting at this stage. Because, I mean, I think, like, obviously, I read, what's there, only like 100 tickets left for you guys in the home end or something like that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think we'll be lucky if there are 1,000 Pars fans there. So,
do you think so?
I mean, I don't think it'll be a big away attendance. It's just, I mean, saying that, the attendance yesterday was still like 4,500. So, I mean, the home matches are still, you know, pretty well attended. But I just think there's a real sort of dread going into this match. And I don't think there'll be many people fancying going and seeing us getting potentially pumped by fortunate Falkirk.
I was just about to say, I obviously pulled you up on that fortunate Falkirk comment, Stephen. See, going back to the game yesterday, so I've not seen the official highlights yet, but you know, you obviously get these, there's quick, Dunfermline's got a few of these vloggers who do their games, and there was a young lad who's done one, he does well with it, but he showed the crowd and stuff. It looked quite sparse, and I wonder, have Dunfermline obviously counted everyone who's probably bought a season ticket, who's bought a ticket, and maybe not, because that northwest section looked about a third full, which was surprising.
Yeah, there's been problems in the northwest as well. I think going back to the Raith Rovers game, I think there's a few banning orders have been dished out there as well. So yeah, there's a few issues there. But the northwest have had a sort of complicated relationship with the club over the years, and you know, I think they're probably on a wee bit of a downturn at this moment in time, given what's happening on the field. But yeah, I think you're right. Probably counting all the season tickets as well. So it's just not been a great season for us at all. And it's getting to this. I'm not thinking like, oh my god, we're going to get relegated, but we need to start winning matches. Like that's fundamentally what needs to happen, because like, you know, we can't just rely on Airdrie being gash for the entirety of the season, or Raith Rovers or anyone else. So we need to get our finger out. And obviously there's loads going on behind the scenes with the takeover, which I believe they are wanting it to be done by Christmas. So, you know, it might be a quite tight turnaround for that. So we'll see what happens. But I'm led to believe that things are moving quite quickly. So hopefully that can get over the line and it's not, you know, Claude and Elka that's bought us. or somebody like that. So we'll see what happens. But I think it feels like everything's a wee bit up in the air at the moment, because I think under normal circumstances, James McPake would be under mega, mega, mega pressure. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of fans who are wanting rid of him already. But I can't see it happening. Unless we get an absolute doing next week, I can't see it happening, because, you know, who's going to pay him off? Because the Germans aren't putting any more money in. And, you know, who are we going to go out and get a manager, like, when we don't have new owners in place who'll presumably want to get their own guy in? So I think McPake's going to be here for the next wee while at least. So hopefully we can start picking up a few points, because it's just not going well at the moment.
I was going to say, where has it gone wrong? You kind of alluded there to, Stephen, the lack of goals. I mean, looking at the table, only 5 goals you've scored this season in the league. Is that with the main concern? Because you obviously brought in Chris Kane. You've still got Craig White in up there as well. Is it just no one, the goals aren't coming from anywhere?
Aye, and I think we've missed Matty Todd as well. He's been back for the last 2 or 3 matches, but he's obviously had a really rough run with injuries. So he's missed a lot of pre-season and stuff like that as well. So he's nowhere near match fit. And you know, once he is, he'll be a big player for us. But I think, Chris Kane again, like, I think he's a player that is something to manage in terms of like ongoing injuries and fitness issues. You know, he gets taken off all the time. I don't think he can play 2 games in a week, really. Even though he's, you know, Chris Kane is obviously a really decent player. David Wotherspoon we've got as well, but he's not really set the heather alight as well. So, like, on paper, a lot of the, like you said, Craig Lighton as well, on paper, a lot of these players, you're like, oh, these are decent players, and, you know, they've got a good pedigree, and we should be able to create chances, score goals, but it's not happening at the moment, just not happening at all.
Is that lack of service as well, Stephen? So, like, is the midfield just not getting involved?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, McPake likes playing with 2 holding midfielders. And actually, I think Ewan Otu has been playing at left back the last few weeks. He got moved into the centre yesterday because Nguena came on. He's been injured. So getting Otu back in the middle of the park will be a big plus. I think that he'll be, that's what will happen on Saturday, because he's obviously, you know, box to box. He's popped up a couple of goals this season as well. So I think getting O2 back in the middle of the park will be a big plus for us. So hopefully that'll make things a wee bit better on Saturday.
You're certainly the one player that really impressed me when we played you at East End. But even though he was playing at left back, I thought he matched up against Callum Morrison actually fairly well that day. But, I mean, how can you see Dunfermline? I mean... Obviously, we're top of the league at the moment. Can you see a way of Dunfermline winning this game? And how do you think McPake will deal with Falkirk?
I think, you know, it's even going back to the League One season where we obviously, you know, you didn't beat us. I think McPake sort of had worked out how to play against John McGlynn teams. Earlier on this season in the game, you obviously deserved to win. But, you know, we had a really big chance at 1-0, and if that goes in, it makes it 1-1. You know, it's a totally different game. But obviously, you being a fortunate Falkirk team, that didn't happen, and you went up the park and scored the second, and that was game over. But I think, you know, anything can happen, obviously, like in these matches. And, you know, as much as I'm sorry going on about fortunate Falkirk, you know, in League One, we obviously carried a lot of luck as well. Like, you need luck, and you'll always get luck when things are going well for you. So, you know, it can turn around, and, you know, Raith Rovers obviously battered us last season, won, like, what, 5 out of 6 matches or whatever it was that they played us, and then we played them on that Friday night. Ewan Murray gets sent off, and we absolutely dominate the game and thoroughly deserve to win. So these things can happen, but the way it's going just now, the way you guys are playing, the luck that you're carrying, I think that it's going to be a tough ask for Dunfermline to get anything Saturday, I would say.
So what's your prediction then?
2-0 Falkirk.
2-0 Falkirk, wow. And don't start, because you did this the last time you start, it'll be embarrassing if you don't win, because you played, I've told you already, you played that card already. Ross, what do you think? What do you think the score will be?
I genuinely, and this is not me bamming anyone up, I genuinely fear for Dunfermline on Saturday. We've been waiting to give someone a doing, and I think it will be Saturday. And this is not me taking it. I think it'll be 4-0 comfortable.
Jesus Christ.
Home win on Saturday.
Oh, Ross, you've just laid a marker down there. What have you done? What have you done?
The thing is, I tried to get a call on it yesterday, and he just wasn't biting at all. And I was like, listen, I was like, you can call us desperate Dunfermline if you want. And he was like, no, dangerous Dunfermline. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not falling into your trap. Because I tried the same line with him, and I was like, listen, Paul, I was obviously, it's a huge game next week. And I was like, but quite frankly, if you don't win, it'll be really embarrassing for you. And he's like, that trip wires out for me. I can't. I'm not going to play your games. He was like, if you don't drop the fortunate Falkirk thing, he was like, I'm going to get a picture of you and stick it up in the Falkirk dressing room and throw darts at you. And I was like, honestly, Col, if you did that, that would complete me. Like, I would love that. Please go for it.
And if you are watching the YouTube version of the podcast, Stephen is currently looking like the Dunfermline Jesus, all bedecked in white, and it looks like he's got a halo around his head as well. How could you see darts in this man's face?
He's praying for Saturday already. Look.
I'm looking for some divine intervention ahead of Saturday. That's what I'm looking for. That's our only chance. Bring Jesus off the bench to score a back post header or something like that.
Hey, I've heard he's good in crosses.
He is good in crosses.
Is Jesus not more of a goalkeeper because he saves?
Brilliant. We're all going to hell now. Right, okay, Stephen, thank you very much for joining us with your divine inspiration there. Fingers crossed for a good game on Saturday, and another version of Super Tuesday would be delightful.
I don't think so. I think it'll be tight, but yous are obviously favourites. So but obviously if we do win, that would be tremendous. I would love that. I'd absolutely love it.
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall. Stay local, eat and drink global.
So that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoyed that today. It was good to have Stevie and Alan on, and Stephen Mill as well, and predicting a Dunfermline loss, Ross.
Do you know, I think he might have done that the last time as well, didn't he? Did he not say 1-0 Falkirk or something like that?
I know his games. I know his games.
We know his mind games. But listen, I genuinely think, and I know it'll potentially come back and bite me on the arse, but I just think we look very dangerous. We're at home. We've got the vast majority of the crowd behind us. An early goal or any us getting the first goal will turn them, their fans as well, onto them. I just think we're done of the days of us shitting the bed, in my opinion. And I don't think this team shit the bed. I'm not saying we're going to win every game, because that's not that. We've said that before. We're not going to win every game, right? But I think the way we're setting ourselves up for this game, we could go 20 points in front of Dunfermline after 11 games, which is just insane.
That is
20 points. If we can, 20 points. And even if we didn't, we're still 16, 14 points in front of them if the worst was to happen. I just don't see it. I think the away end on Saturday, there'll be kids crying, there'll be scarves on the park, there'll be the team.
Bring on the tears.
Exactly.
I spoke to Stephen, like, obviously McPake is quotes on a sugary peg as it is, but I kind of agree with him. Even if we pump them, I don't think he'll still be here, I think.
Yeah, I think it's by the sounds of it, they may wait until this restructure is complete. But then, do you know, hell mend them, because I know he said they're hoping that Airdrie, or they need to watch and hope that Airdrie are not gash all season, but they're slowly starting to be a small breakaway at the bottom of the league as well as there is at the top. So
when you look at it, I mean, Airdrie are on 5 points, Thistle and Fifth are on 13, so there's 8 points the gap there,
which is a big gap already.
Yeah.
Big gap.
On Brighton Road for Falkirk, we're 10 points clear. in the off Thistle as well well. So that's big as well. Obviously 4 points clear of Livy as well. I mean, we'd absolutely loved to have drawn that Livy Air game yesterday. That would have been the ideal result. But Livy, I think, are going to be there and thereabouts. I can't see them, just from having seen them and how organised they are, and they'll scrape out 1-0s and they'll scrape out those wins, and they'll just, yeah, they're going to be there or thereabouts. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes, but let's see what we can do against Dunfermline. Imagine if we just go and absolutely hump them on Saturday. I would love that. I would love that. Anyway, fingers crossed. That's it for Falkirk Daft for this week. Thank you very much for listening or watching us. Please rate, review us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, follow us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram as well. And you can buy merch. You're meant to put out a tweet this week for the new merch.
That's right. I'll do it that way.
Do it. Write it in the minutes
because I was away this week, but I'll do it this week.
Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. It's where you'll find that stuff. And we'll see you this Friday at Falkirk Daft Live. I'm really looking forward to it. Before the Dunfermline game. Yeah. It's going to be a good night. Lee Miller, special surprise guest, the Falkirk TV guys, Big Grant from Still Game. Falkirk Daft Firms, Falkirk Daft Pizzas, it's all going to be happening down at Behind the Wall. Hopefully you manage to get a ticket for it, and like we have said, Ross will be buying everyone a beer. Come up and introduce yourself to us if we haven't met you before. It'd be great to see you down there. We'll have a bit of a party afterwards as well. Lots of auction prizes as well, so bring your money with you. It's all going to a great cause, Maggie's, and remember, 20% of everything we make is going back to the Falkirk Foundation and the Falkirk Women's Team. So great stuff. Before we go, I've got to say, the Graham Barrett Roll of Honour. If you've reached this point of the podcast last week, I said, I bet you no one listens to this bit where we're wrapping up. They just kind of switch off. But people apparently do. So shout out to PGM, Dougie Manson, Del Byrne, Ingy, Louise Smith, James Duffy, Dougie B, Homer's Twin, 2007 Bairns, Paul Fuller, Ali Jr., Joe Hines, Stephen Gibson, Jamie Douglas, Pamela Gilchrist, and Derek Carswell. So all tweeted Graham Barrett. So here's your player for this. If you've reached this point in the podcast this week, here's your Falkirk, random Falkirk player. You've got to tweet us to prove that you've listened to, and you'll get on this Roll of Honour for next week. Roman Walner is the random Falkirk player, so tweet us Roman Walner to prove that you've got to this point in the podcast. Okay, thank you very much for that. Right, looking forward to, if you've kind of dropped the ABBA thing halfway through, Ross, you've got any other ABBA songs you can
all I'm going to say is I'm really looking forward to Friday night as well, John, even including the Kiki D Elton John moment. Spectre unexpected, the winner takes it all.
We're Falkirk Daft, talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft, you can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.